Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
We're looking at the closing now of our series on Joseph. And you'll remember from last week, he became like prime minister in Egypt. He was in charge of food distribution, storage of food. He had foreseen that there would be 7 prosperous years, good crops, and he advised that the food be put aside for the bad times that were coming after that. And there's a big famine, and with the people coming from neighboring countries are the very brothers who sold him into slavery in the first place. And the question is, what's going to happen now? Okay. A very powerful emotional scene takes place as he reveals himself, after hiding for a bit, he reveals himself to his brothers. Joseph was no longer able to control his feelings in front of all his attendants, and he called, "Let everyone leave my presence." There was nobody present when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him nonetheless, and news of it got to Pharaoh's household. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" And the brothers were so dumbfounded at finding themselves face to face with Joseph that they could not answer. And Joseph said to them, "Come closer to me." And when they did so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. Now do not be distressed or blame yourself for selling me into slavery here. It was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For there have now been 2 years of famine in the land, and there will be 5 other years with neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me on ahead of you to ensure that you will have descendants on earth and to preserve you a host of survivors." It's clear that God, it was not you who sent me, but God. "And he has made me Pharaoh's chief counselor, lord over his whole household, and ruler of Egypt." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's try that again. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and you say, "Thanks be to God." Very good. Very good. This is the 4th in a series of sermons on a very fascinating figure in the Old Testament, and that's Joseph. We've seen him sold into slavery in Egypt. He rises in his master's house only to be falsely accused of misconduct. He's in prison then for 13 years. And then finally, he rises, despite his captivity, he rises to a very high position in Egypt. He's only second in command to Pharaoh himself. He plans for a time of famine that he foresees coming. And during the good years, he has grain put aside in granaries. He has distribution systems set up so that there is food in Egypt when the rest of the immediate world there is suffering very severe drought. He's a man of vision, very much like Steve Jobs is to technology. He was a man of vision, but also a very complicated person. This is not a cardboard cutout kind of man at all. like you to just imagine, I don't know if you've ever seen severe drought, severe famine, but this is what took place in the Middle East, in Egypt and in surrounding countries, where the crops just withered in the fields for lack of rain, lack of water. The earth becomes just dust in the wind. People are starving. But there is food in Egypt. That's the one place where there is food. And people from other countries, there are caravans now coming into Egypt to buy food. And with these caravans come Joseph and the brothers of Joseph, the very people who had sold him into slavery in the first place. And now they bow before this awesome bearded figure in his gilded chair. And they dare not look at him, because that can be death. And in some societies, even today, you do not look directly at a person in power. You turn away as a sign of respect. This man holds the powers of life and death. He can sell them food or withdraw it. It's all up to him. He recognizes his brothers, but they don't recognize him. They don't realize who this man is. And the question is, how will Joseph handle this? Will he forgive the brothers for what they have done? Or is this payback time? Is this the time when he gets his pound of flesh? Sometimes it's hard to forgive, isn't it? I don't know. How would you handle a situation like this? Sometimes it's hard to forgive. You know, in the news with the Super Bowl tonight, there's New Orleans and how they were kind of robbed of their chance to play tonight. And there was pass interference. There was probably using a helmet as a weapon that the referees missed. But if the call had been made right and the penalties had been made right, chances are New Orleans would be playing tonight with the Patriots. And I like Sean Payton, their coach, the New Orleans coach. He was so upset that he was just in his room for 3 days straight. He said, eating ice cream and watching Netflix. He had to go through that before he could even see people. I don't think there's any chance of forgiveness of those referees, at this point at least. It can be hard to forgive, but where forgiveness does take place, there can be healing. And I'm stretching my memory here. I think I'm going back to maybe 2010, something like that, with the Tigers playing the Indians. And there was a pitcher for the Tigers by the name of Armando, I think Galarraga, something like that, who was one out away from being the 21st pitcher in the major leagues who had pitched a perfect game. Do any of you remember this? I've got vague memories of it, but there was a guy, an Indian, who went to first base. And the referee there, the umpire there, said he was safe. And the crowds just booed. They did not think this guy was safe. And it was a 54-year-old man who was the umpire by the name of Jim Joyce, like the author, James Joyce. And he realized he had blown it. He had made a bad call. And he was grief-stricken himself. It wasn't just the crowds that were booing. He realized he'd messed up. And he said, I've robbed that guy of a perfect game. But he apologized to Armando. He said he'd messed up. He was sorry. And the thing was that Armando accepted his apology and forgave. And the two men actually hugged. Two men who could have been bitter enemies hugged. Now, what do you think Joseph did with those brothers? I mean, he's a tough guy. He's been in jail for 13 years. You don't come through that, you know, being goody two-shoes. He's tough. And he puts his brothers through a harsh test to see if they are worthy of forgiveness. He, toward the end, he actually places a silver cup in his younger brother's sack and then accuses that younger brother, Benjamin, of stealing it. And he threatens now he's going to put that younger brother in prison. That younger brother is going to be a slave. And the purpose of all this is to see, will the brothers abandon this young little boy? Will they abandon this young little boy as they many years ago had abandoned him? And Judah, one of the brothers, in fact, one of the brothers who suggested way, way back that they sell Joseph to these passing traveling salesmen on their way to Egypt. He's the one who suggested that. This time, he says, don't take him. Take me instead. If Benjamin's left here in prison as a slave, the father will be just heartbroken. Let me stay instead. Let him go back. And it's at this point that Joseph reveals himself with tremendous built-up emotion. He reveals himself to his brothers. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. And they're just speechless. They're just dumbfounded. Joseph says to his brothers, you know, you meant it for ill, but God meant it for good. He sent me ahead of you to save life, to preserve life. And I was thinking of Steve Jobs again, and how in a speech at Stanford, he once said that, you know, when you're going through life, there are certain things that happen and you don't realize their significance until perhaps later. And he said, just by chance, I took calligraphy in college. And that had its effect when I put out those first computers. The typography was excellent. I was fired from Apple, but that led to the formation of Pixar. And his point was to those students that maybe looking ahead, you can't see things. But looking back, sometimes you can see a pattern that's there in your life, that things you thought weren't important at all take on a significance. He said you can't connect the dots looking ahead, but looking back, sometimes you can connect those dots and see their meaning. And I think something like this happened with Joseph, and something more. He looks back on his life from his position now as prime minister in Egypt. He looks back on his life and sees his imprisonment, is being sold into slavery, not just as you know, the bumps of life, but he sees a hand not his own at work through all the hardships, a hand not his own at work for good, to preserve life for this family and for others. It's true, if we think of it, you know, what's happened in the past? What's happened in the past, we can't change. But we can change the meaning of that, can't we? Depending on what's happened since, we can look back and give things a new meaning, a new significance. And Joseph sees himself now just, you know, being sorry, I've had a rough life. He sees a hand working for something that's way beyond him. He sees God at work in his life to bring good out of the bad that was there, to save lives, to preserve life. And I don't know, can you see God as you look back on your own lives and the ups and downs that are there? Can you see in your own life God working for good? Let me just give an example. I don't know, somehow I ended up reading an article by a woman by the name of Edith Schaefer, and it was called Sponge Cake or Egg Noodles. Are any of you familiar with Edith? No? Sponge Cake or Egg Noodles. And Edith Schaefer was having an evening party. And she had a cook, and she gave the cook a recipe for sponge cake. She must have been well off to have a cook, but she gave this cook a recipe for sponge cake. And the cook came back with this bowl of yellow sticky stuff. And there, it was obvious something was wrong. Something had gone haywire somehow. It shouldn't look like this or feel like this. And she went over with the cook. Now, did you put in everything in the recipe? And they discovered she had forgotten the sugar. And the cook said, well, what should I do with this yellow sticky stuff? Should I just throw it away? And Edith said, no, what do we like that involves, you know, flour and baking powder and water and eggs and salt? What do we like that can be made from this? And she put in some extra flour until it became thicker in consistency. And then she poured it out and rolled it out flat and cut it into strips and made egg noodles. And that night, believe it or not, all her guests remarked about the egg noodles and how good they really were. And could they have the recipe to take home? I think the story of Joseph is that, you know, there are times when our lives can be that yellow sticky mess. But God can take that yellow sticky mess and really make some good egg noodles out of it. God can give new meaning and good taste to that. And just to use another example, an older one, a little boy and his mother was embroidering things, you know, with the, what do you call that ring where you have the embroidery? The little boy, looking up from the bottom, what did he see? Just threads going here and there, knots, all confusion. But then she lifted him up so he could see from the top, And there the mother had embroidered a very beautiful bird on a branch. And I think, again, God can take those loose threads, those knots in our lives, and give new meaning when we lift it up and see things from a different angle, where those knots and tangles can be turned into something very beautiful. True? But the question for us, I think, is, are we able to look back at our lives and see a pattern there? And remember, the brothers had changed, and Joseph had changed. They were different people than they were, 30 years back. Joseph is the first person in the Bible to actually forgive someone. And the idea of forgiveness develops a lot since then. But I think that the question for us is, are we able to forgive? Can we find that capacity within ourselves? Again, it can bring a lot of healing if we find we're able to. God was at work here. He brought me ahead of you to preserve life. God can bring good out of bad. If we can see ourselves as part of a drama that's much greater than ourselves. Amen.